pleased to be joined now by Joe Concha, the media reporter and columnist for The Hill. You see Joe regularly on Fox, and you can read his columns on The Hill, of which all of them are excellent. Joe, thanks for joining Mornings on the Mall.
Mary, Vince, good to hear from you. What are we talking about?
Oh, literally everything. So I'm going to try and move through this rapid fire.
So settle in.
This is a week of media insanity. Let's start with ESPN. They decide to remove this guy, Robert Lee, from calling the UVA game. You've written about this. I mean, everyone seems to know about this story. What's your take on it?
Well, my take is that Robert Lee is an Asian American. He can never be confused with a dead Confederate general. And ESPN created a firestorm that never would have existed if they moved him off the game. Think about it, guys. You never heard of Robert Lee, I would imagine, before the announcer, before this whole controversy came. 99% of Americans probably never had either. And if the concern was, well, you know, some memes may come up, some mean memes may come up if they hear a Robert Lee is calling a game in Charlottesville at the University of Virginia, and we want to avoid Robert, you know, being maybe heckled or harassed. Well, you could have moved him off the game quietly because no one knew he was working in the first place outside of maybe his broadcast partner. So that's the whole problem there with ESPN. They created a controversy where it did not exist, and obviously now I heard a saying that it's called MS-ESPN.
Yes.
At this point, you can make that argument that they've gone so liberal in their political views, and all people want is to go there, get scores, watch sports, and not have to have that rammed down their throat in that venue.
It's 2017's most perfect story. ESPN, looking to avoid memes, decides to use a not racist element of their program and get rid of it on racist terms. It's really perfect. It's insane.
You said it better than I did.
I want to move on to CNN. I've spent a lot of time this morning focusing on CNN for any number of reasons. One of them is that Brian Stelter, on his media reporting program, has begun what appears to be a concerted effort across that network to constantly refer to issues about Trump's mental health. They're just raising questions, he says. He said it a lot, and not just him. Literally, almost every news anchor that is on that network has raised questions about Trump's mental health this week, many of them pegged to James Clapper suggesting something about it, too. What do you make of CNN just sort of riding this horse like it's a campaign?
It is amazing, and you noticed the same thing I did, that coincidentally, on Sunday, Brian, who's a media critic and reporter like I am, starts a narrative, and now everybody else, the network, is following that narrative. It's as if they're singing from the same sheet of music or a memo or something. But, hey, I'm just speculating. Look, everybody that is speaking about President Trump's mental health on that network, from its media critic to its hosts to other pundits they have on there, none of them are psychiatrists or doctors at last check. So if you're going to go down this road, maybe you book an expert to talk about the president's mental health issues or lack thereof.
But Joe, the thing,
right, this just seems like a narrative that is being pushed out of virtually nowhere just because those folks disagree with Trump's message,
not so
much because he has a mental problem.
And the basis for this, remember, let's place this in context. Brian Stelter is the media critic for the network. His job is actually to assess the validity and the process of reporting. And when he looks at this, his view of this and the way he brought it up on Sunday was to say, reporters talk about this when the cameras are off, so therefore I thought I'd share it with our audience. What you're saying is idle gossip inside of CNN is occurring, and therefore I'm going to tell you what it is. That's not reporting. That's literally advancing gossip and turning it into a national news story.
Yeah, I believe Brian Stelter said in newsrooms people are talking about Trump's mental health. Well, Brian, outside of the New York CNN headquarters newsroom, where else have you been? Well, obviously nowhere else but CNN, so that is an excellent point, Vince, that he is literally talking about reporters, anchors, hosts, pundits at CNN that are talking about this, not across newsrooms, which is the way that he portrayed it. So, look, I'm disappointed in Brian. I used to think that I always knew that he leaned left, but now he has gone into being a full advocacy journalist and is saying some and reckless things at this point, and no one seems to keep him in check because I guess they like the narrative that is being pushed from an executive level.
You know, Joe, I'd like to move over to the Wall Street Journal. The editor-in-chief there, Gerard Baker, who's the editor-in-chief, sent out some late-night emails, and he criticized the reporters over their coverage of Trump's rally in Phoenix. And he said, sorry, this is commentary dressed up as news reporting. And he added, could we please stick to reporting what he said rather than packaging it in exegesis and selective criticism. those emails were leaked to the New York Times. So clearly some of his reporters thought this was so egregious and so outrageous that they leaked it to the New York Times. What does this say about the state of any kind of journalism? Is it just rogue and it's just the Wild West within the ranks?
Well, first of all, I saw this story kind of blowing up yesterday and saying, oh my God, Gerard Baker took his reporters to task because they're editorializing too much in their straight news reports. And I'm saying, okay, well, I get what you're saying. Like, yeah, the leaked emails are troubling that a Wall Street Journal owned by Rupert Murdoch, the executive chairman of 21st Century Fox, and obviously Fox News, would leak these to their biggest competitor, the New York Times. Well, what's the story here? If Baker is the editor-in-chief and he sees reporters going off in an editorial, in an opinion direction, all he's saying is, let's take that out because that shouldn't be in a straight news report. It sounds to me like he's actually doing his job as an editor, and instead he's being criticized for criticizing his reporters. Well, I work for The Hill, and my editors change what I write sometimes, or they say, hey, Joe, that's a little bit over the line, or maybe you should alter this or modify this or remember this point. That's the whole point of an editor-in-chief. So, yeah, the leaked emails are troubling, but I don't see one thing that Jared Baker did wrong.
Well, the leaked emails are suggestive of a rebellion by the reporters. It's not, I mean, it's not just about the competition with the New York Times. It's clearly that you have reporters who are insubordinate here, and for reasons that are not just. They're because they believe that editing is oppressive. Those emails, if you were going to leak emails that were damaging to Gerard Baker, what you would leak is like, hey, I want to go easy on Trump. Those are not the words he used. He said explicitly that he wanted to be loyal to the facts. And who's going to disagree with that in the pursuit of journalism?
Yep, the exact quote is, could we please just stick to reporting what he said, Trump, then packaging it in selective criticism. Okay, makes sense to me. This is commentary dressed up as news reporting. That's where he says somewhere else. But let's be careful here. This could just be one reporter who's angry about the way he's being told to do his or her job. It might not be a reporter's rebellion within the Wall Street Journal. It could just be one bad apple.
That's true, but we saw some ex-Wall Street Journal reporters immediately in the wake of this tweeting about like how they feel for their comrades over there and how everybody seems to be oppressed. This is just a bizarre story and one that I think right now, as far as the facts go, are in Gerard Baker's favor.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And, you know, there's a media critic, I don't know if you ever heard of him, Jeff Berfisozzi. I'm not pronouncing that correctly, and I apologize. He once said that the divide between news and editorial is one of the fundamentals of journalism. People are able to move back and forth across that divide, taking care not to allow their personal views to color their news reportage. And that has been completely eviscerated. And we see that in cable news all the time, where straight news anchors like an Anderson Cooper or even a Shepard Smith on Fox tend to be editorializing a little bit more. And if that's the case, then fine. Don't call yourself an anchor anymore. You're now a host. And you could opinionize all you want, and that's that. But it seems like even the straightest of news reporters, even on the evening news, are suddenly saying, you know what, let me make it more about me and share my personal feelings because I want to do what's right in my mind, and that's a big problem.
Joe, I think you've summarized media in the Trump era. I really appreciate you stopping by to give us a quick rundown. There's much more to come, so we'll definitely have you back.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks.